just as I am poor, wretched, blind. And if that's how you see yourself this evening, well, you need, my friends, to come to the Lamb of God, of whom we've just been singing. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 10 and verses 46 to 52. And in this little passage, we have described for us a wonderful moment, the most wonderful moment in the life of a man named Bartimaeus, which simply means that he was the son of Timaeus. And I'm sure you can see why I refer to this as the most wonderful moment in this man's life, because in the first verse of the passage in Mark 10, Bartimaeus is described as being a blind beggar who was sitting by the roadside. But in the last verse of this short account, we're told that he recovered his sight and followed Jesus on the way. So what an extraordinary change came about in this man's circumstances. One moment he's blind and sitting, begging. But just a little while later he sees and he's following. He's following Jesus. And what brought about this amazing change? Well, it was, wasn't it? It was a personal encounter. A personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I need to say more than that. It was more than just a personal encounter. It was a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom Bartimaeus expressed a personal faith. Jesus himself says that to him at the end of the passage. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. So it's not just that Bartimaeus had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people had personal encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing about Bartimaeus, as the Lord Jesus tells him, is that he had a personal faith in the one whom he had this encounter with, the Lord Jesus. Your faith has made you well. And the question I'd ask you this evening is this: have you been made well? Have you been made whole through such personal faith in this same person, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you? You might be thinking, well, how can the preacher make this leap from Bartimaeus some 2,000 years ago to you here tonight? Well, you see, this historical event that's recorded in the Word of God, it teaches spiritual truths that are as relevant today as the day when this book was written. Yet Bartimaeus, he did really exist, of course. This isn't a work of fiction. This is a real account. There he was all those years ago, sitting just outside the city of Jericho by the road that led to Jerusalem. He was blind, and therefore he had to beg to survive. You know, there was no welfare system in those days. There was no social services he could go along to. He had to beg. But I suppose you could say this was a good place for him to beg, because it was a well-used road, that road from Jericho to Jerusalem, full of people. It was a good time for him to beg, actually, because many people were on their way to Jerusalem at this time, because it was a feast of the Passover. We read in the first verse, verse 46, that Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, a great number of people. But though we might try and draw some comfort from the fact that Bartimaeus was in a good position for begging, and that it was a good time for begging, If we're honest, we have to say, don't we, that his situation was truly miserable. Blind. Begging. Destitute. And in darkness. What a wretched, what a pitiful condition to be in. You try and imagine him. You try and imagine him there. I mean, the situation might seem so remote to you here tonight. It's sometimes like that, isn't it? We sometimes watch the television, we see tragic tales of famine-struck victims abroad, and of course, it's sad, it's moving, but it's so far removed from our own circumstances. And perhaps you feel that way tonight as you think of Bartimaeus there, sitting there by the road, all blind and begging. And yet I need to tell you tonight that in fact, it's not so far removed. Because Bartimaeus, in his original condition, as he is when the passage begins, he typifies In a spiritual sense, he typifies all the people of the world, you and me included, unless, until a person is made well, made whole by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Bartimaeus' physical condition illustrates in a very vivid way the spiritual condition of the sinner before God. And we're all sinners before God, as the Word of God so clearly teaching us. I mean, here's Bartimaeus. He's a beggar. A poor beggar. And the Bible tells us, you know, that as sinners we are destitute. We are spiritually impoverished. There's a famous verse in the book of Isaiah that says, all our righteous deeds, the very best that you and I can do, is like filthy rags. We're dressed in filthy rags when we're dressed in our own righteousness. It's filthy rags. We're spiritually impoverished. I mean, perhaps you would hope to draw some comfort from the fact that your life isn't so bad. You think about maybe your morality as you see it, and your charity and your piety and all these other things that people like to draw comfort from, and you think, well, you know, surely those things will please God and give me a ticket into heaven. But you see, drawing comfort from such things it's really like drawing comfort from the fact that Bartimaeus was begging in a good place at a good time. It's false comfort. It's ridiculous. Worse than that, it's self-deceiving. Your charity, piety, your morality, filthy rags. You're a beggar, spiritually speaking. Bankrupt, impoverished. That's what we are. However much worldly wealth you might enjoy, spiritually speaking, you have nothing. Nothing to bring to God. Nothing to satisfy His holy requirements. Nothing to please Him. And do you know that? Perhaps I need to put it like this. Not only do you know that, do you feel that? Do you feel that tonight? We sang earlier in our first hymn, false and full of sin I am. Do you feel that? Have you ever felt that? How bankrupt you are spiritually. How you are dressed in filthy rags, spiritually speaking. But of course, Bartimaeus was more than the poor. He was blind, or in a sense that was the reason for his poverty. And he spent every day in darkness. And again, that's got a spiritual application, because that's how the sinner spends their days. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are described in God's word as being blind. We are described in God's word as being in darkness. And listen to how the Apostle Paul describes the people of this world who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in their case, he's talking about people who are not Christians, in their case, the God of this world, he's talking about Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So he's saying, you see, people are in darkness. In their sin, they're in darkness. They're in the devil's darkness. We actually read in Colossians chapter 1 that the devil's domain, his kingdom, is a domain of darkness. And that's where we are bound in our sin. We are in darkness. We are blind. Blind to our own sinfulness, to what an offence it is to God. Blind to the consequences of our sinfulness, that it's taking us to hell. Blind to the good news of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the Saviour of sinners, the gospel that can bring sight and can bring light. We're blind to these things. We're in darkness. Time and time again, this is the sort of language that the Word of God employs to describe the wretched, the pitiful condition of sinful men and women. Unless, until they believe in, until they set their faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He can bring us out of this. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He said, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. That's where you are. But he says, I've come for this reason. I've come to deliver you from this. To deliver you from the devil's domain of darkness. And if you believe in me, you won't remain in darkness. But instead you'll have the light of life. Whoever believes in me. You've got to believe in him, you see. Do you remember what Jesus said to Bartimaeus? Your faith has made you well. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to exercise faith in him. It's clear, isn't it, from Bartimaeus' account and from many other verses in the scriptures, that such faith, such belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is critical. It's critical to blind sinners being transferred by the Lord Jesus Christ into his kingdom of sight and light. You need faith. That's why we call it saving faith. You need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's such faith that Bartimaeus exercised this day. Your faith has made you well. Not our faith that saves us. It's God who saves us by his grace. But he calls upon us to believe in the one he has provided in his grace to be the saviour of sinners. You remember how Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 2, how he says that in our trespasses and sins, all people were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, though. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. It's only because of the grace of God that the Lord Jesus Christ is set before us as the Saviour of sinners, whom we are called to believe in to be saved from our sin. We are, remember, spiritually bankrupt. We've got nothing we can bring to God to please him. We must look to God for everything. But he has provided all we need in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for sinners on the cross. And he calls us now, he says, believe in him, believe in the one who has done everything necessary to save you, to rescue you from the darkness, to open your blind eyes. I'm setting him before you, he's come into the world, he's done everything. Now believe in him. Believe in him. Trust in my grace, as displayed in the Lord Jesus. Amazing grace. John Newton said that. We're going to sing it at communion. Amazing grace. And sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. The amazing grace of God in providing for blind, wretched, filthy sinners one to be their saviour. And he calls on you tonight to believe in this one, to trust in this one, to cast your all upon this one, that you even tonight might be delivered from the domain of darkness in which you reside at the moment, Satan's captive, and be transferred to the kingdom of God's Son, whom he loves. I just want you to notice some things about Bartimaeus here. First thing I want you to notice is that he had heard about Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. We read in verse 46 a description of Bartimaeus, and then we go in verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, it would seem that here was a man who had heard already about Jesus, although he couldn't see, he could hear, and he had heard reports about the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the Lord Jesus had been ministering publicly for 2 or 3 years by now. He had been a subject of much discussion, hadn't he? Much debate. He was the talk of the town in many senses. And Bartimaeus knew facts about him. He knew that he was from Nazareth. He heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. But he must have heard more than that, for he had come to the conclusion, this blind man, that Jesus was the son of David. That's what he told him. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And by referring to him as the son of David, he was really saying to him that he's a Christ. He's a Messiah. He's a deliverer. This is who Bartimaeus believed Jesus to be, the deliverer whom God had long promised to send to his people. You go back into the Old Testament, and God promises that out of the seed of David, it will be a son of David who God would send to be the Messiah, the Christ, the rescuer of his people. He would come, Jesus, from David's line. And so Bartimaeus crying out, Jesus, son of David, is very significant. He's heard about Jesus, and he ascribed to Jesus this, we'd have to call it what we call a messianic title. He's the Messiah. Perhaps Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus' teaching. A teaching that we know left crowds astonished, because he spoke with such authority, divine authority. No doubt Bartimaeus had heard some of the reports about Jesus' miracles that he had performed, how he had healed many people. And he would realise that these are things predicted of the Messiah in the Scriptures. You go back to Isaiah 29, Isaiah 35, verses that would have been very relevant to Bartimaeus. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. So Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus' teaching. He had heard about Jesus' miracles. He had heard about Jesus. He knew about Jesus. And so when on this particular day he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. He began to cry out. Well, you know, it's important, this, because it tells us that the saving faith that we're considering tonight through the account and example of Bartimaeus, it's not ignorant, you know. It's informed. It's informed about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel concerning him. He has to be the object of that faith. You're not called upon to have feelings about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not called upon to have faith in just a very general sense, as many people today say you should have. Oh, as long as you have faith, you'll be okay. No, you're to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one God promised to send into the world to save his people from their sins. The faith you are to exercise is not a blind faith. You are blind, but you're not called upon to exercise blind faith. It's not a leap into the dark, as some might tell you it is. It cannot be, because to be a saving faith, it must be faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In who he is, in what he's done to save sinners. Now, I'm not saying that everyone, on the day that they're converted, that they are all equally informed. I'm not saying that. There are some people who are converted, they've grown up in Christian homes, they've been to churches, they know the Bible well, they know the stories about the Lord Jesus and the other Bible stories, they know so much. And there are other people who might come for the first time to a service such as this and hear and be saved. But the fact is, you must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be that level of knowledge that there is this one who has come into the world. God has sent him, as we heard this morning. God has not spared his own son, but has given him us that we might be saved. You've got to realise that you are a sinner. You have to know that. That you are going to stand before God one day, facing heaven or hell. And the only way you're going to get into heaven is by trusting in Jesus Christ, whom he sent to save you.
Now you know these things. Many of you here know these things. This Lord Jesus who came into the world, born a man in Bethlehem, died on the cross of Calvary, dies and rose again from the dead, is now seated at the right hand of the glory of God. You've heard about him, haven't you? You've heard about him? I can't actually see anyone here tonight who I have not seen before. You've heard about him. Thank God you've heard about him. Thank God you've heard about him, because the Apostle Paul says how important that is. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how are they to call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Thank God that you're here tonight. Thank God that you've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. But it's not enough that you've heard. You must believe what you've heard. You must believe it to be true, which Bartimaeus clearly did, and we've touched upon it earlier, that which he had heard about the Lord Jesus, he himself believed to be true. We know that because we read in verse 47 that he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, there is a difference, isn't there, between our hearing about someone or something, having that knowledge stored in your head and believing it. We cannot believe unless we know, but we can know and not believe. I say some of you here may know much about the Lord Jesus. Perhaps you're the children of Christian parents. Perhaps you've grown up in Christian homes. You can tell me much about the Lord Jesus. You've heard, you have that knowledge, but do you believe? You know, but do you believe? We see the Bartimaeus here, he did believe. He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He wasn't simply trying his luck, some might argue that, well, you know, it was worth him calling out to Jesus whether or not he believed. He had nothing to lose, did he? If it turned out that Jesus was the Messiah who brings sight to the blind, wonderful. If he wasn't, well, Bartimaeus had lost nothing. Well, we can dismiss that theory, because Jesus categorically says later on, "Your faith, Bartimaeus, has made you well." Bartimaeus believed. But it's not simply Jesus' words to Bartimaeus that lead us to that conclusion. Look at the urgency with which he sought the mercy of Jesus. We're told he began to cry out. And when those in the crowd tried to silence him, he cried out all the more. Here was a man who believed from what he heard that Jesus is the promised one of God. And now he's heard. And now he's heard that this Jesus, he's passing by. That's how it's actually described in Matthew's and Luke's account of this passage. He heard that Jesus was passing by. Oh, but what if Jesus should pass on by? What if Bartimaeus might miss the moment? What if this opportunity to be made well, to be made whole, would pass on by? But it would be gone, and possibly gone for good. That mustn't happen. And so Bartimaeus, he cries out, and then he cries out all the more. There's his urgency. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He's an example to you tonight, Bartimaeus. You see, this business of you needing a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an urgent matter. You know, this business of your salvation, of looking to Christ for salvation, it's not something to put off, you know. Any of you have a desk with a pending tray on it, you know? You know, a tray, you put things that don't need dealing with at the moment, you put it in the pending tray. You mustn't put this in the pending tray. It's urgent. It's urgent. It's critical that you get right with God tonight. You know, we say, don't we, procrastination is the thief of time. Let me tell you, procrastination for many people is the thief of salvation. Oh, just put it off till next week. You don't know you've got next week. Do you share this man's sense of urgency? You've been here before to services such as this one before, but tonight, tonight may be your last opportunity. And that means it's your only opportunity to look in faith to Christ. Seek the Lord while he may be found, we're told in the scriptures. Call upon him while he's near. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Do you imagine yourself in Bartimaeus' situation? If you want, close your eyes. Close your eyes and imagine yourself in that situation, sitting there by the roadside. You've heard about this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe him to be the Messiah sent from God to open the eyes of the blind. And you've heard he's coming. You hear he's coming. And just sit there. Let him pass by. And you can open your eyes now and look at me. Let me tell you, you are in such a situation. You're blind. You're in darkness. You're bankrupt. And tonight, as it were, the Saviour's passing by again. And you need to call out to him to be saved. You dare not let him pass you by tonight. You must believe in him. But whatever obstacles are in your way, Bartimaeus knew about obstacles. The crowd around him proved to be no friend to him. We're actually told no one told him that Jesus the healer was passing by. From Luke's account, we learn that Bartimaeus had to ask the crowd what was happening. There was this buzz about him. He realised something was different. And he has to ask the crowd what's happening. And they tell him. And so he begins to cry out. And then what happens? They rebuke him. They tell him to shut up. That's intimidating, isn't it? You imagine being a blind man sitting begging at the roadside, and you've got all these people saying, "Shut up, Bartimaeus. We're here to hear Jesus. Just be silent." But he cried out all the more. This was too important a matter. He was more concerned about being popular with God than popular with men. And friends, if you're seeking God tonight, don't be surprised that there are obstacles in your path. The God of this world, whom I referred to earlier, whose kingdom of darkness you currently belong to, he's not going to give you up easily to the kingdom of light. He's not going to give you up without a fight. He will put obstacles in your path. Such obstacles may be people, as they were for Bartimaeus. Perhaps there are those who oppose you, those who would rebuke you for becoming a Christian. But friend, you need to press on. You need to ask God to help you overcome those obstacles, because the prize of eternal life, of coming out of the darkness into God's light, into his life, is too precious to give up just because of a few obstacles. Even if tonight it seems that the Lord Jesus isn't responding to your cry. You know, Bartimaeus must have thought that for a while. There he was crying out to the Lord, but initially no response. And sometimes the Lord may delay. He may delay with you. That's not because he's not interested in saving you, but he wants you to persist. He wants you to persevere. He wants you to seek. He wants you to cry out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Oh, this man, he had heard about Jesus. But more than that, he believed that which he had heard to be true. He must have believed it, hence the urgency, hence the persistency. But then, finally, very simply, he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus, trusting Jesus to do for him what no one else could do. We read that, having cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me," Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. He's heard about Jesus, he's believed what he's heard to be true, but now you see there's something more. He responds to Jesus' call. He comes to Jesus personally, individually, as Bartimaeus.
And he trusts Jesus to do for him what no one else could do for him. You notice what Jesus said to him, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" Now that might sound a strange question. You might think, well, wasn't the answer obvious, Jesus? But Jesus didn't ask this because he didn't know. He didn't ask for his own benefit. He asked it for Bartimaeus' benefit, that Bartimaeus might express his real need, the true desire of his heart, that he might express his faith in the one who could meet that need and fulfill that desire. I mean, if Bartimaeus wanted money, he could have just responded to Jesus, "Can you give me some money?" But no, he knew he had a far deeper need than that. Bartimaeus said to him, "Rabbi, Lord, let me recover my sight." Friend, it's not enough that you've heard about Jesus. It's not enough, even in a sense, that you believe what you've heard. You need to respond to his call to come to you. You need to respond personally. You need to respond individually, as you are, who you are, in your filthy rags. You need to come in repentance. You need to express to him tonight what your real need is as a sinner. You need to be saved. And what I trust is the true desire of your heart, that he would save you, that he would bring you out of this darkness and into his light, that though blind you might see, that though lost you might be found. You need to come to him, and he invites you to come to him. "Come to me," he says, "all who are heavy laden, all who are weighed down by all these things, all who feel them, the weight of their sin and the consequences of their sin, that the pitiful and miserable state they're in. Come to me, all who are heavy laden by such things, and I'll give you rest. I'll bring relief to your soul." It's no good just simply standing at a distance, having heard about me, even believed what you've heard. "I want you to come to me tonight," says Jesus. "I want you to trust me. I want you to depend upon me. I want you to cast yourself on me. I want you to believe that I can do for you what no one else can do, and what you certainly cannot do for yourself." Now, I suspect there's some here tonight who've never done that, who've never reached that point. You've attended, yes. You've listened, yes. You read your Bible, maybe. You believe the facts, maybe. Perhaps you've even been moved in some of the services. But you've never actually come to Christ yourself. You've never responded to his call. I would tell you that tonight is a night you must do. You need to cast off anything that might restrain you from coming to him. You notice what Bartimaeus did. He threw off his cloak, in a way, that cloak, didn't it, that he used to sit in bed in. It resembled his old way of living. Oh, he doesn't want that anymore. He throws it off, his cloak. You've got to throw off your old way of living tonight and come to Jesus. And come easily. We read that Bartimaeus sprang up and came to Jesus. There should be a spring in your step as you come to him. He's offering you tonight something no one else can offer you. He's offering you light and life for all eternity. Come to him, that he can bring you that, as he did to Bartimaeus. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well. You've believed in me, you've trusted in me. Now go." And immediately he recovered his sight. You know, that crowd, it was such a discouragement to Bartimaeus, wasn't it? Didn't even tell him Jesus was coming. And when he heard and started to call out, they told him to shut up. And yet later on they did at least say to him, "Take heart, be of good comfort. He's calling you." And I think it's right, in a sense, to take those words of the crowd and apply them here tonight. There you are in your miserable, pitiful, sinful, dark, blind condition. Yet I can say to you tonight, take heart, be of good comfort. Jesus is calling you. He's calling sinners to come to him. He's come into the world for this purpose,
so that whoever believes in him may not remain in darkness. Will you respond to that call tonight? Don't let him pass by. Just close your eyes again and think of Bartimaeus there. Is he going to let Jesus pass by tonight? That's your situation. In darkness and blind, and going to hell. But the Saviour's passing by. Are you going to let him pass by? Or are you going to call out, "Have mercy on me, save me tonight, Lord Jesus Christ"? And then follow him. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." He recovered his sight. And isn't this lovely? And followed him on the way. He didn't go home. He didn't go to his family. He didn't go to his friends. He didn't go his own way. He followed Jesus on the way. On the way to Jerusalem. On the way to Calvary. To die on a cross. That's where Jesus was going that day. And as Christians, we follow a Saviour who was crucified to save us. You know, to the world out there, he's nothing, isn't he? But to us in here, he is everything. Because of everything he achieved on that cross. And we follow him. And we want you to follow him. Because he has promised that whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's promised that. And unlike us, the Lord Jesus Christ never breaks his promises. Amen.